Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Inquisition when we come back. If you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create, and the government gets the other 60%. That's about $20,000 for you, and government gets $30,000. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year. And you're going to net 25%, and the government's going to net 75%. That means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to get $4,000 more. That's 8% more take-home pay than you did this year. Now, that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. You produce 100% more, and you get to keep 8% of it. That's the second $50,000. Now, that's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do, to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners, and then only net 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order our free general law CD package, and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information. It answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we're paying so much and receiving so little in return. Let me teach you how to do just that in my Tax and Status School, which is now available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. If you'd like to order that CD package, just call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Remember, it's free. Or you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. The Inquisition. You've probably heard that name. You've probably heard that term. You might have heard a little bit about it, but not from Sunday school or church. Churches and Sunday schools, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, avoid the Inquisition like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And they do it with a reason. And they do it for a reason. Now, in the 20th century, we've seen, according to various statistics, I don't know quite which one we should follow over here, but the 20th century, we've been told, and I've read many reports, that about 100 million people have been killed in our wars. World War I took around, give or take, around 25 million people. World War II killed about 50 million people. Now, just those two wars alone, number around 75 million people. And, of course, you got Vietnam. And you take a look at Iraq, and you say to yourself, Iraq hasn't killed too many. It's only killed 3,800. Well, it's only killed 3,800 Americans. But those numbers aren't quite correct. It's estimated now that in 5 years of war in Iraq, going on five, it's actually four and a little more, that we have now killed about 1 million Iraqis. Now, they had a population over there of 27 million on day one. They've got about 4 million, depending upon, who you're reading and who you're looking at over here. If you get the official government statistics, you get one set of numbers. And if you go to the Red Cross, you get another set of numbers. And then if you go to other sources online, you get still third groups of numbers. So I'll concede that we really, you and I, sitting here, as jurors sitting in the box, listening to three different sets of numbers, don't know quite which one I want to believe. The United States government, they lie to us constantly. And we know they lie to us quite often. And they have lied to us in the past, and there's every reason to expect that they'll lie to us in the future. The Red Cross is probably a little more accurate, but I'm not sure that the Red Cross is necessarily telling us the truth. The Iraqis, they've got their numbers. Their numbers are way higher than the web numbers and then the Red Cross numbers and the U.S. government numbers. But then, they're partisans, and they may be lying to us, too. Now, the reason I take a minute and I point that out is that we really don't know. We know that everybody is in agreement that a lot of people are getting killed, but they disagree as to how many. It's kind of like the Holocaust, depending upon who you're listening to over here. If you're listening to the Jews, they killed 6 million. If you're listening to the Holocaust deniers, they didn't kill very many. They killed some. I mean, everybody's in agreement that they killed some, but there's always this disagreement. Take the flu epidemic back in 1918 worldwide. It was estimated that a minimum of 50 million people died, and they think that there could be as many as 100 million. 100 million people dead. And I look at those numbers and I say, wow, 100 million people dead. Only killed 25 million in the war, killed 50 million that we admit to, and then it could have killed 100 million. We go back to the bubonic plague. Bubonic plague. Estimates range anywhere from 35 million to 100 million plus, again. Now, these are big events in human history. You know, when you're out there killing 100 million people, you know, that's a big deal, I would say. Because today in America, excuse me, in the world today, not just in America, but here in the world today, about 100 million people a year are born. Out of 6.5 billion people on the planet, the total number of people that are added to the world's population every year is about 100 million people. Now, 100 million is a bunch of people. It's one-third of all the people that live in the United States. Our population is about 300 million. So 100 million is a bunch of people. It would represent all the people west of the Mississippi River, all the people in America west of the Mississippi. And then, you know, if you compare it to China, they got 1.3 billion people. If you took 100 million out of China, they'd only have 1.2 billion people. So 100 million people out of China doesn't really amount to a great deal, but in the United States, it amounts to one-third. If you killed 100 million people in England, you would wipe out everybody in the country and you'd still have a shortage. You know, there's only about 70 million that live there. So to give you some ideas to how many 100 million people is, well, this Inquisition, this thing that you've heard, you know, a story or two about, no doubt, but you haven't heard the whole story. You haven't heard, you know, what went on there. It was estimated that it killed 100 million people. 100 million people. And that's in the Middle Ages. That's before the bubonic plague broke out. It actually lasted through the bubonic plague. And then a lot of times people say, well, if that happened, why, all the people of Europe would have been exterminated twice over. Problem with that is we don't know how many people were living in the Middle Ages in Europe. I don't remember seeing any particular census data that would tell me that story. But again, I will be the first to concede that many of these numbers are, in fact, estimates. But my point is that there's a bunch. You know, so whether you say, well, you know, they didn't kill 100 million people in the Inquisition, it was only 50 million. You know, Hitler didn't kill 6 million Jews, he only killed 3 million. He only killed 500,000, he only killed 250,000. You know, 250,000 is a bunch of people, isn't it? You know, I come from a little town up on the north coast of California, population 30,000. I delivered newspapers there, Eureka, California. This pretty good-sized town, 30,000 people. And when I see these numbers, you know, like in World War I killed 25 million people, I look at my little town of Eureka, California, where 30,000 people are living in this town, and it would wipe out everybody in this city multiple times over. And I go, oh, my God. Can you imagine, you know, in the town that you live in, if you just wiped out everybody in town? I mean, you could take Chicago, Illinois, or New York and say, can you imagine taking everybody in New York City and killing them? And that's the Inquisition. And we wouldn't kill them just once. We would kill them over and over and over and over again in order to get up to those kinds of numbers. Boy, that's big time. And that happened a long time ago before the world's population, you know, topped a billion. First time we hit a billion people, they tell us, is about 1600. I don't think that's true. I think there were many billions that have lived on this planet, you know, for thousands of years. But then, you know, people have their druthers and they have their ideas and opinions, and I've got mine just like everybody else. But even if you take the official numbers, it's still pretty mind-boggling. Well, so openly corrupt did the fallen church become in the Middle Ages that we can readily understand why in many places men rose up in protest. Many were those noble souls who rejected the false claims of the Pope, looking instead to the Lord Jesus for salvation and truth. These people were called heretics and were bitterly persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. One of the documents that ordered such persecutions was the inhuman Ad Extirpanda. It was issued by Pope Innocent IV in 1252 AD, and the document stated that heretics were to be crushed like venomous snakes, and it formally approved the use of torture. Civil authorities were ordered to burn heretics. Burn heretics. Now, if you're a Catholic, you're probably sitting there saying, why this Protestant upstart, why he ought to be burned. I'm citing this from the Catholic Encyclopedia. This is what they admit to. I didn't go over here to the Lutherans or the Protestants and say, well, let's see what the Protestants say about the Catholics. I went to the Catholics to find out, what do the Catholics say about the Catholics? This is what they admit to. It's kind of like up in New England, you know, you could sit there and say, oh, those dirty, no good Catholics up there in Boston, you know, they're out here molesting children. Well, that's the bad news. But the good news is that the Catholic Church admitted that one-third of the clergy in Boston was either homosexual or that they were pedophiles or both. Now, that's what they admitted to. I don't know. I don't live in Boston. Never been there. I just read the papers. Old Will Rogers used to say, I just got it in the paper. So when I see a report like that, I kind of sit back and I go, oh, my God, you know, that's pretty heavy duty. Who would have thought such a thing? Well, the aforesaid bull, it's called a bull when the Pope issues a document, you know, here in the United States, when the president issues something, we call it spin. And in the Catholic Church, when the Pope issues something, they call it a bull. It's called a bull ad extirpanda. Extirpanda. Remained thenceforth a fundamental document of the Inquisition. It was renewed or reinforced by several popes. Several popes. I underlined that when I got to it. I said, my God, it wasn't the madness of one pope. I mean, we weren't talking about one Adolf Hitler who went nuts and killed a bunch of people. We're talking about a bunch of them. And then he goes on and it tells us Alexander the Fourth from 1254 to 1261, Clement the Fourth, 1265 to 1268, Nicholas the Fourth, 1288 to 1292, Boniface the Eighth, 1294 to 1303, and others. The civil authorities, therefore, were enjoined by the popes under pain of excommunication to execute the legal sentences that condemned impenitent heretics to the stake. And it is to be noted that excommunication itself wasn't any trifle thing, for if the person excommunicated did not free himself from the excommunication within a year, he was held by the legislation of that period to be a heretic, and he incurred all of the penalties that affected heresy, unquote, from the Catholic Encyclopedia again. So here's the dilemma that people in the Middle Ages faced. Now, it wasn't just in Italy. Now, we're talking about all over Europe. I imagine all over the world, at least all over the known world. I don't know how far east or how far north or south the Catholic Church's reach might, but it certainly reached into Europe, which is what we're concerned with here. And if you were a non-Catholic, or if you were a Catholic and you decided that I don't agree with the Catholic Church on this point. You know, we Americans here, we have what we call religious freedom guaranteed to us under our First Amendment. It says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or the prohibition of the free exercise thereof. And so we Americans, you know, kind of take it for granted that if you want to be an atheist or want to practice witchcraft, or if you want to practice Catholicism, or you want to belong to the Jewish organization, that's fine. You know, everybody can do that. Everybody has what we call freedom of choice. But if you were a Jew in medieval Europe, or if you disagreed with the official church dogma of the day, you could be taken out and killed. And it was a little bit worse than that. It's one thing to take you out and give you a lethal injection, which, you know, we give you a sedative and knock you out. And then while you're knocked out, we just kill you on the operating table. That's fairly painless. What would you think if I tied you up to a stake and put a bunch of wood underneath you and lit you off and burned you alive, which was the common modality for killing heretics? It wasn't satisfactory to just kill them. It was necessary that we torture them to death. What do you think of that? And then again, I'm citing from a Catholic encyclopedia, so I didn't want to make anybody mad at me and have them say to me, well, yeah, you got a one-sided story there, you know. I don't know if the story is one-sided or not, but it's the story that the Catholics admit to. And it's a pretty sordid story. That's why I thought I'd put it on as a history lesson for all of us, because our president of the United States has engaged in torture. Now, we Americans have historically, in my lifetime at least, have always refrained from torture. Now, I was watching The War on PBS the other day, and I was pretty well shocked at watching The War. Ken Burns puts out some pretty good documentaries. And after the Corregidor and Bataan death marches, you know, there was a guy that was on there, an old-timey World War II soldier, you know. He was on one of the islands, and evidently the Japanese had killed a bunch of Americans. I don't remember exactly how many. It occurs in wartime very often. So the Japanese had taken some Americans and just shot them. And so this American, he said, from that point on, when we saw that our GIs had their hands tied behind their backs and that they had been shot in the head and executed, he said, we never took another Jap prisoner. Well, that's against the law. You're not supposed to do that. And, of course, when you get caught doing that, they want to prosecute you and put you in jail. Now, the government doesn't have any problem, you know, sending you out here to this hellhole called war. But then when you go berserk out here in this hellhole called war and you kill somebody in the wrong way, they want to lock you up in prison. So we take our soldiers over here in Iraq, which is one of those hellholes of war, and this guy goes nuts and he kills somebody over there, and they bring him back over and we'll lock him up in prison for 20 years, you know, or 10 years or whatever, I don't know. I always thought there was a little something wrong with that. But then there's a little something wrong with war and its whole general guise. But, you know, Americans seem to like war. We really get excited about that. We like to tell people that, well, no, we really hate war. I don't remember any war that we've ever been involved in that we hated. Not that I can remember, but this aforesaid bull now is called the Ad Extirpanda, A-X-T-I-R-P-A-N-D-A, in case you want to look this up. Men pondered long in those days how they would devise methods that would produce the most torture and pain. One of the most popular methods was the use of the rack. It was a long table on which the accused was tied by the hands and feet, back down, and then stretched by a rope and windlass. This process dislocated joints and caused great pain. heavy pinchers were used to tear out fingernails, or were applied red hot to sensitive parts of the body, like the groin. Rollers with sharp knife blades and spikes were used, over which the heretics were rolled back and forth. There was the thumb screw. It was an instrument made for disarticulating fingers and Spanish boots, which were used to crush the legs and the feet. The Iron Virgin was a hollow instrument, the size and figure of a woman. Knives were arranged in such a way and under such pressure that the accused were lacerated in its deadly embrace. Now this torture device was sprayed with holy water and then inscribed with the Latin words meaning glory be only to God. I want to underline that one because we want to be religious about this. Glory be only to God. Now, we abhor these bombers. You know, they run out here, you know, these bombs strapped on them and blow themselves up. You know how long it takes to die from torture? Well, in many cases, like in the case of Jesus being crucified on a cross, from that story in the Bible, which most of us are at least, you know, somewhat familiar with, it took him from about noon to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to die. About 3 hours. Can you imagine being nailed on a cross for 3 hours? About how much pain? I mean, you know, you go in here and you burn yourself on the stove, you know, and that's pretty painful. You know, you had an auto accident, and that was pretty painful. People oftentimes go through great pain. And people, human beings, you know, evidently take great pride, relish, delight in watching the torment of other human beings. And that's the story that we get here in the Catholic Encyclopedia. Now, the torture techniques that are being employed today by the CIA and these rendition countries, I haven't heard of them using these kinds of torture. I haven't heard of them nailing anybody to a cross, or stretching somebody on a rack, or sticking them in the Iron Maiden, or something like that. So when the president says, we Americans do not torture people, I guess, you know, compared to what these Catholics were doing to the heretics, those non-Catholics, or those that they deemed as being heretics, I guess, you know, by comparison, I guess we're not torturing anybody. But I'm not sure that we have a good definition as to what torture is. I saw the president the other day was on TV, says, we do not torture people. Well, Mr. President, I would hope we don't. Senator John McCain, who was in Vietnam, a prisoner for 7 years, he said he was tortured, and he described the way they tortured those people. It was bad. I don't think it was quite as bad as the Middle Ages. They didn't kill him. They hurt him. They caused pain. They caused mental anguish, but they didn't kill him. He came back from the war, and from what I can see today, he has made a great success of himself. He is in every way an authentic American hero, John McCain. He's running for president right now. I'm not suggesting you vote for him now because he's an authentic American hero. I'm just suggesting that, you know, here's a guy that went through the Vietnam War. He suffered through torture. He introduced a bill in Congress. He said, you know, I don't think we ought to do that. I don't think we ought to do that to our fellow human beings, even if they are bad guys. Our soldiers in World War II, you know, they killed people. They did, but they didn't torture. The American GIs that were on the Ken Burns War program, they didn't say that every time they caught a Jap, they would put him on the rack and stretch him until he tore his arms right out of their sockets, or tore his legs right off of the torso. They didn't do that. They just took him out and shot him in the head. You know, blew him away. They killed him. But you know, it's a lot different. You know, if you're going to kill somebody and you shoot him, and he dies there in about 5 minutes, or less. I mean, you know, if you shoot him in the head, it's all over instantly. If you shoot him in the stomach, maybe they're going to last for a while, but they'll bleed to death. You know, in a few minutes. But that's a big difference, you know, from taking somebody out and inducing or inflicting pain on somebody by stretching them on a rack or nailing them to a cross or burning them at the stake to cause as much pain and suffering and anguish as you possibly can to somebody. And you mean you know you're going to kill him, so I'm not satisfied with just killing him. I want to hurt this guy. I guess there are people that get real satisfaction from that. Victims, after being stripped of their clothing, had their arms tied behind their backs with a hard cord. Weights were attached to their feet. The actions of a pulley suspended them in the midair or dropped and raised them with a jerk, dislocating joints of the body. Can you picture another human being doing that to somebody? You tie somebody's hands behind his back, then tie a rope on it, hook it up to a pulley, and then pull him up. That'll dislocate your shoulders and arms. And then when you've got him up in the air, you drop him a foot and then stop it so that it jerks, so that it breaks his arms. Can you imagine people doing it? This is the Catholic Encyclopedia citing from here. I just wanted to let you know now that we're not picking on Catholics here for no good reason. Now, the reason I bring this to your attention is that oftentimes, especially here in America, we get a very sanitized view of history. A very sanitized view. And that's because the people who are running our public schools, they don't want to single out Catholics. There are about 60 or 80 million people in this country that are Catholic. And so we don't want to single them out and say, hey, look what these people did back here in the Middle Ages. Well, it's good that they're not doing that today. But you know, when I talk about religion, when I look at religion today, take a look at the Muslim inhumanity to the fellow Muslims going on over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then ask yourself, well, have we white Anglo-Saxons been any different? I was an employee one time at International Harvester in Oakland, California, and there was a black kid. You know, I was a kid, I was about 22 or 3 years old, and this guy, he was probably about my age, 22, 23 years old. And we were up at the parts window talking, and there's three, four mechanics standing there. And the conversation turned to this black kid who was a Muslim. And I thought that was really curious. I'd never met a Muslim in my life. A lot of Christians, you know, where I'd grown up in Northern California, but I never heard of a Muslim in my life. And I asked him, I said, why are you a Muslim? And he launched into me like I was vermin. And he said, because you Christians have killed more people in the history of the world than any other culture. Boy, that really took me back a peg. And I never claimed to be a Christian. I wasn't claiming to be a Christian. I wasn't religious. I didn't go to church. I wasn't, you know, I wouldn't have denied being a Christian if you'd have said, you know, are you a Christian? I remember when I went down to the Army, you know, in those days they used to take you in, you know, for your selective service. And the selective service examiner asked me, he said, what religion are you? And I paused and I said, I don't have any religion. And he said to me, he said, you have to have a religion. Now, I'm just a kid, 18 years old. I didn't know I had to have a religion. Nobody had ever told me that before. I came from a family that didn't go to church. And I thought about it long and hard. I said, am I a Catholic? And No, we're not Catholics. And I thought, well, are we Protestants? And I thought, no, we don't even go to church. You know, we celebrate Christmas. I remembered that, and we had ham on Easter. I'm not quite sure why we did, but we did. And here's the Army examiner, the Army man there. He says, you have to have a religion. That was the first time I'd ever heard that. So he looked at me and he said, are you a Catholic? And I said, no. He said, are you a Jew? And I said, no. And so on my form, he made an X in the box that said Protestant. And he said, well, then you have to be a Protestant, and handed me back my form and said, you're going to the next station. So that was the first time that I'd learned that I was a Protestant. I didn't know that until the Army told me. All right, now I've got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed to the website as well. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. And we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like to order one, then call us at the Law School. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend necessarily endorse and recommend the Law Hour and editorial review. They may not. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, or they could be political. They may be religious. They could be economic or sectarian or racial or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about the Inquisition. Now, I'm citing from a book entitled Babylon, Mystery Religion, written by a fellow by the name of, my guy's name here. Well, that's funny. His name isn't on the front page here. I'm going to have to turn over here to the flyleaf. Here he is, Ralph Woodrow. Published first back in 1966. The 27th edition was copyrighted in 1993. I would imagine you could probably get this in a Bible bookstore. It's a history of Roman Catholicism. It's a book on Roman Catholicism. So if you're a Roman Catholic, you won't want this book, because it takes your church to task and exposes the abuses that went on in the Catholic Church, starting with about the time of the Messiah, or shortly thereafter, you know, say the before the first century BC was up, and then carries it through the Middle Ages primarily, not in recent times. They're not mad at you over recent time. And it compares it to Revelation 17 and various other scriptures in the Bible. It's not very flattering. So, but all you Protestants out there would probably get a lot from it, and you Jews will certainly get a lot from it. And the reason I bring this up is because if a group of people that we call Catholics in this case, and I'm not suggesting that Catholics today are out burning, you know, Protestants at the stake, or that they're going to in the near future, but religious people just scare the living peewadden out of me. I mean, I mean to tell you that Hillary Clinton is scary, but Hillary isn't anywhere near as scary as some religious guy. Now, I was watching TV the other day. It was on Bill Moyers' Journal. I got to report this to you because this is serious stuff. Bill Moyers' Journal. It was on PBS on Friday night, which is just, you know, night before last, and he had a Jew and a Protestant on there, and he had a section. He's talking about Israel, you know, the war going on, the ongoing war between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Here in America, there's about 70 million fundamentalist evangelical Christians, and these 70 million Christians, and that's a bunch of people, you know, 70 million. That's a bunch of people. And they pointed out that about 20% of the 70 million, now this isn't all of you evangelical Christians out there, but I want to tell you, you have evangelicals out there just scare the living hell out of me. When I saw this on Bill Moyers the other night, I said, oh my God. And there's a fellow by the name of John Hagee, and he wrote a book with another guy over here. In fact, he wrote a series of books called The Left Behind series. These people believe in what's known as the rapture, which even by itself is fairly harmless. I mean, you know, we're not talking about something really serious here. It's the rapture, and it affects people. You know, if they're not raptured away, then they have to go through the Great Tribulation. And so this guy Hagee, John Hagee, nice guy, a wonderful guy. He has a church down in San Antonio, Texas. And I've seen a lot of nice guys in my day, and this guy is really a nice guy, very serious, very straightforward, and he is an unabashed supporter of Israel. And that's not bad even by itself. You know, there's Americans that are unabashed supporters of Germany and unabashed supporters of Islam and Americans who are unabashed, you know, unapologetic supporters of France and Spain. And even by itself, it's not, you know, it's not even by itself necessarily wicked and evil. But this guy, John Hagee, and he's got a church with 1,600 people. You know, he's a somebody. And he's out speaking, he's on the lecture circuit, and he's out talking to people, and he's supporting Israel, and he's calling for a preemptive strike. And I heard him with my own earballs, so I'm not giving you tales out of school here. And I saw it on Bill Moyers' Journal, and I guess you could probably get a copy of that from PBS. And he says, we need a preemptive strike against Iran. A preemptive strike. And I listened to that, I could hardly believe my earballs. And here's a religious guy, and he was citing, and they had pictures of Senator Joe Lieberman. And I guess Joe Lieberman, I haven't heard him personally say this, or I haven't seen a clip of it, but I guess Joe Lieberman is calling for a preemptive strike against Iran. Now, I'm not talking about Iraq now, their next-door neighbor, Iran, a preemptive strike. Now, these Iranians are working on nuclear power projects, and there's some controversy as to whether or not they're looking for creation of a bomb, you know, nuclear bomb, which I would concede is going to be bad for everybody. But, you know, the Pakistanis, they're a Muslim nation. They've got the bomb. And we're not over there preemptively striking Pakistan. India has the bomb. I don't see us over there preemptively striking India. But we're going to preemptively strike. And here's all these Christians, and they've got these Christian groups over here. And this is what was really surprising to me. I thought Christians were peace-loving people, not these Christians. These Christians, they got Israeli and American flags, and they're waving them around. And they're calling for war against Iran. And I didn't know that. So I thought I would report that to you, that there's a bunch of them out there. Now, how many people are calling for war against Iran? It's 20%, say these two hosts, or the two people on the Bill Moyers show. There's 70 million. See if I got this right. I got my Sharpie 1197 working here. 70 million. There's 70 million. Okay. 70 million people. And he said times 0.20, 20% of them. That's 14 million. There's 14 million American religious evangelical Christians calling for war against Iran. Oh my God. I didn't know that. I'm not calling for war against Iran. Hell, I think the war in Iraq's insane. The war in Afghanistan made more sense. And now they're telling us we want to go to war against Iran. And I'm going, why on earth would we want to do something like that? So they're beating the war drums. These people are beating the war drums and telling us we need to go to war. I thought we'd learn something from the Iraq experience. I mean, I heard the president beating the war drums over there. The Iraq war made a hell of a lot of sense. I saw Colin Powell go into the United Nations and say, these Iraqis over here have weapons of mass destruction. You know, they didn't have the nuclear bomb, but they said they've got gas and they've got poison and they've got, you know, they got missiles and they got weapons of mass destruction, and we got to take them out. And I listened to Colin Powell in the United Nations. Colin Powell, I thought, put on the most persuasive argument for going to war of anybody that I heard in the Bush administration, and we went to war. And now, 4 years later, you know, 70% of Americans are sitting there saying, "Boy, that was a mistake." And so, And the people that were beating the gong to go to war in Iraq, they weren't religious people per se. I thought it was the Bush Republican neocons over here who were beating the war gong over here. Well, now the guys that are beating the drums for war are the evangelical Christians over here. And I kind of wonder if these people understand, after having watched Ken Burns, have you been watching Ken Burns and World War II? You know, even the soldiers that are on our side that were on the winning side and came back home had psychological scars forever, for the rest of their lives. Going out, you know, our God gave us a law. He said, thou shalt do no murder. You know, going out and killing people is going to leave some psychological scars on you. You know, I can report to you, I haven't killed anybody yet, and so I'm happy to know that I haven't violated that law. And I'm an old man. Maybe I can live my life and die without having to kill somebody. I kind of hope so. I never have had it in my mind that I should go out and kill another human being. But, you know, I'm not opposed to it. You know, there's times, you know, even in the Bible, you know, God will tell you, you know, we killed that guy because he needed killing. There are some people that are pretty damn wicked and evil out there that do need killing. And I've always been grateful that I was the guy that didn't have to do that. But there are some people need to do that. Policemen, every once in a while, they have to kill somebody. I don't think that they run around, you know, with a gun on their hip and they're saying, well, geez, I hope on my shift today I can kill somebody. Most policemen live their lives, you know, without ever having to kill somebody. And I bring that to your attention because we're talking about death here, you know, with this Inquisition thing over here. And the numbers that I see here is about 100 million people. A Catholic Church and about five or six popes ordered the deaths of 100 million people in the Middle Ages. And I admit readily that I can't prove that it was 100 million, but I'll bet you that you can't prove it wasn't. And I've got sources here that tell me that it was 100 million or more. You know, there's some sources say it was more than 100 million. Others are a little more conservative, and they say, well, maybe it was 3 or 4 million. You know, it's kind of like the Holocaust, you know. Yeah, there's nobody that says that the Nazis didn't kill any Jews. And what the argument is over is, well, how many? You know, if you killed a quarter of a million, you know, that's pretty damn serious, I'd say. Well, was it a million, 2 million, 5 million, 6 million? It was a bunch, no matter what position you take. And so I take a look at you Jews and I say, well, you know, 6 million being killed in World War II, that was bad. But don't you think that 100 million Christians being killed was even worse? The Inquisition killed more people than the Holocaust in World War II against the Jews. I haven't seen anybody that would, or hardly anybody that would deny that or contradict that. And I'm going, oh my God, and the Catholics are Christians? That's the thing that scares the hell out of me. And it reminded me of that black kid, you know, the Muslim kid. I said, oh my God. See, you know, when you're 18, 20, 23, you know, you're a young person, and there's a lot of things you haven't been exposed to yet. You don't know too much. And when that guy told me that, that was a shock to me. I didn't know that Christians had killed more people than any other society on planet Earth. The guy's right. The guy's right. We Christians have gone out and killed more people. I say we Christians, you know, we in the Western, you know, we Europeans see ourselves as Christians, and we Americans see ourselves as Christians. When you go out into the street and you start polling people and you say, what religion are you? Are you a Muslim, a Jew, or a Catholic? Or, you know, they say, well, I'm Christian. I'm a Christian. Here in America, 95% identify with Christianity. You know, there's different brands and stripes of Christianity, but they will say, well, I'm a Christian. You know, there's a number of people say, well, I'm Muslim. You know, another group over here says, well, I'm Buddhist, or, the, you know, I'm a Confucianist, or I'm a this or that, or a Jew or something else. And so people identify with their religious ideologies. And I was really taken aback here with this book called Babylon, Mystery Religion. And remember, the guy's name here is Ralph Woodrow. Probably get it at any Christian bookstore. And there's a chapter in here, number 14, which deals with this Inquisition over here. Let me give you a few more facts here. Some who rejected the teachings of the Roman Church had molten lead poured into their ears and mouths, eyes were gouged out, and others were cruelly beaten with whips. Some were forced to jump off of cliffs onto long spikes fixed below, where, quivering from pain, they slowly died. Others were choked to death with mangled pieces of their own bodies with urine and excrement. At night, the victims of the Inquisition were chained loosely to the floor or wall, where they were helplessly prey to the rats and vermin that populated those bloody torture chambers. The religious intolerance that prompted the Inquisition caused wars which involved entire cities. In 1209, the city of Béziers was taken by men who had been promised by the Pope that by engaging in the crusade against heretics, that they would bypass death, purgatory, and immediately enter heaven. 60,000, it is reported, in this city perished by the sword while blood flowed in the streets. Now, in this one city, 60,000 perished in 1209. And there's literally dozens of these. Now, you know, we don't report. Ken Burns, you know, did a, I think it was about 15-hour report on World War II. World War II killed about 50 million people, civilians and military and so on. And so he didn't cover every battle or all the people that were killed. He just kind of hit the highlights, like Iwo Jima, you know, was hit on it. Okinawa was hit. The Battle of the Bulge, you know, and the Battle of Britain and so on. And in these various battles, you know, people are killed by the thousands. And then when you tally up all these battles and then you go to the various governments after the war and you say, well, how many people did you have before the war and how many people have you got now? And so they kind of figure that there a bunch of people are missing, and so they're probably dead and presumed, or, you know, missing and presumed dead. At Lavaur, L-A-V-A-U-R, in 1211, the governor was hanged on a gibbet and his wife thrown into a well and crushed with stones. 400 people in this town were burned alive. The Crusaders attended high mass in the morning and then proceeded to take other towns in the area. In this siege, it is estimated that 100,000 Albigenses, I don't know if that's the way to pronounce it, it's A-L-B-I-G-E-N-S-E-S, Albigenses, Albigenses, fell in one day. Their bodies were heaped together and burned. 100,000 in one day. Now, I listened to Katie Couric telling me that 3 Americans were killed today. You know, every day on the news, 3 Americans were killed today in Iraq. No, I don't mean to be a light on 3 guys getting killed over in Iraq, but, you know, three guys compared to 100,000. Now, this, of course, happened, you know, long ago and far away, and we don't think too much about it today. But for all of you Christians out there, you know, beating the gong for war against Iran, for the 14 million of you that are beating the gong, and then of the other evangelicals, they go along with it. They're not beating the gong quite as hard as the 14 million hardcore guys out there. I would suggest that we rethink this. I mean, the Iranians are probably real bad guys. But you know, when we go to war against Iran, which is a done deal. I mean, boys and girls, make up your minds to this. We are going to war against Iran. I've been listening to this and following the story now for about a year and a half. And I'm going to report to you that if I was betting, you know, if I had money and I was going to make a bet, are we going to war with Iran or are we going to war or not going to war? I not only would bet we're going to war with Iran, I'd give you odds. I'd give you odds. Now, the bad guys, you know, the guy that's out here in the forefront, this Ahmadinejad guy, you know, maybe he needs killing. I don't know. I'm not a judge. How do I know if he needs killing? I noticed that the God in the scripture here, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, he made an observation one day. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. So I think I'll just withhold judgment like I'm instructed to do. I don't know. I'm not in a position to know. I'm not God. I can't tell you that the guy's all that bad. Maybe he is. But war doesn't kill Ahmadinejad. The war in Iraq didn't kill Saddam Hussein until you caught him. This war in Iraq is killing Iraqis. I mean, you know, if you Iraqis are listening over there right now, and a lot of people around the world listen to this program, Saddam Hussein was probably a bad guy and needed killing. I'm not here to tell you didn't. But Saddam Hussein never killed as many people in Iraq as the Americans have in 4 years of war. I mean, you know, as bad as he was, and he was out there killing people. I mean, there was one town that he gassed and killed 5,000 people. I mean, but we're getting to the point now in Iraq where killing 5,000 people is chicken feet. So bringing it up and saying, well, you know, Saddam Hussein was a bad actor and he killed 5,000 here, he killed 10,000 over there. It's estimated now that we Americans have killed in excess of 1 million Iraqis. 1 million Iraqis have died over there. 4 million now have been displaced. They're refugees scattered around the world in various places, mainly in Jordan, Syria. And Jordan and Syria, I guess, are the two main places, maybe a few others. Or Turkey. Yeah, there's a bunch of them fled into Turkey now. So I just wanted to point out to you, you 70 million evangelicals over there that are beating the war drums over here, you're going to kill a lot of men, women, and children in the process of getting this guy Ahmadinejad, and that's assuming you get him. So while you're real mad, you know, at the leadership over here in Iran, I would simply say that there's a lot of innocent people over there that are going to die, and there's going to be a whole lot more innocent people die than guilty people, and I don't think that we ought to be out there killing people indiscriminately. You know, if you need to kill this guy Ahmadinejad, then let's get after it. But you really think that we ought to be over there dropping bombs on these people over here, killing people indiscriminately, like the Germans did in London, 1940? I mean, you didn't care too much for that, you English people over there now, did you? What makes you think that we ought to be over here dropping bombs on Tehran and killing women and children over there any more than Hitler had some right to be killing Englishmen? At the massacre of Mirandol, 500 women were locked in a barn which was set on fire. And if any leapt from the windows, they were received on the points of spears. Women were openly and pitifully violated, that is, raped. Children were murdered before their parents, who were powerless to protect them. I often wonder about that. I say, okay, maybe the parents are heretics and maybe the parents need killing. But why does a 5-year-old child need to be killed or burned alive in a barn with his parents because his parents are heretics? What is the need for that? And a thing that really surprised me, I could see a bunch of infidels, you know, calling for war. I could see a bunch of atheists calling for war, or a bunch of Republicans or communists or something. But, you know, when I saw on Moyer's report, I saw all these religious people, all these evangelical Christians, you know, calling for a preemptive strike against Iran, you know, I chuckle a little bit. I say, I'm not chuckling at the prospect of the war. I chuckle at the hypocrisy that comes from Christianity. You know, we here in the Western world, we carry this Bible around. It's got 10 commandments in there. Have you ever heard of that, you Christians out there? Have you ever heard of the 10 commandments? One of them says, thou shalt do no murder. Have we become so gross and so callous? John Hagee says, well, you know, if those Iranians get a hold of the bomb, they're going to drop it on Israel and kill a bunch of Jews. Excuse me, is there no God in heaven to protect the Jews? looking here in the scripture, I saw a story in the Bible. You know, maybe you won't believe this, but I saw a story in the Bible. A guy by the name of Pharaoh is chasing down, among some others, some Jews. And they got over here to the Red Sea. And the Israelites, of which 1/12 of them were Jews. It is true, there were some Jews in the Red Sea crossing. They actually didn't cross the Red Sea, they crossed the Gulf of Aqaba. But you know, for you people over there that have heard of Moses and the Red Sea crossing and the Ten Commandments, and you saw the Cecil B. DeMille program, I wanted to point out to you that those were Jews, or a lot of Jews, that went across the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh's army went down into the sea to chase them down, God collapsed the walls of water. He caused a miracle. He saved his people alive. Has that God died? Has the God of you Jewish people out there, has your God died? Has he gone off someplace and he's no longer around to save you or protect you from the Iranians? He can save you from the Egyptians, but he cannot save you from the Iranians? And you Americans, you evangelicals out there, has your God gone off somewhere so far that he does not hear you anymore? I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. That's the story of the Inquisition. There's more to it. That's not the whole story. Some of the popes that today are acclaimed as great lived and thrived during those days. Why didn't they open the dungeon doors and quench these murderous fires that blackened the skies of Europe for centuries? We're not talking about six popes for 35 or 40 years. We're talking about hundreds of years. If the selling of indulgences or the superstitious worship of statues or the immorality of some popes, if these can be explained as abuses or excuses because they were done contrary to the official laws of the church, what can be said about the Inquisition? It cannot be explained away as easily, because the fact remains, the Inquisition was ordered by papal decree and it confirmed by pope after pope. Now, can any believe that such actions were representative of him who said to turn the other cheek, to forgive your enemies, and to do good to them that despitefully use you? I think the young black man was right. Christians are killers. Be very cautious of Christians. Hey, we're out of time. I got to remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling The Law School at 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.